thank you very much for entrusting your pulpit to me. I know how important that is and what a privilege it is to be entrusted with another pastor's pulpit. Brahm and I are pastors of Melbourne Life Christian Church in Kew, and we run Manifest and different things, DMS, and do all sorts of things. So we're very active, just like your pastors are very active, and we know what it is to entrust the pulpit and the ability to speak into the life of the church. So I really thank you for the privilege and the honour to be able to be here tonight. Before we get started, I do want to prophesy over people, but I want to just share a few things that are... God just put on my heart to share with you guys tonight. And that is, never underestimate the power of a spiritual atmosphere. Never underestimate the power of a spiritual atmosphere for people to walk into. It's interesting, just this week, one of the young mums in our church, I was speaking to her, and she's beautiful, really on fire for God. She and her husband are raising her kids, really, full of faith in God. And we began talking, and as she began to talk about, she mentioned something about her testimony. I said, well, what is your testimony? And she began to share with me how she came out of the nightclub scene, the drug scene, how she used to go clubbing sort of 3 or 4 or 5 nights a week, was heavily into doing drugs. And it was at a nightclub that a young man spoke to her about God. And began to speak to her and encourage her about the things of God. And eventually, as she got to know that guy as a friend, he invited her along to church. And so she walked into church, and she said, Diane, it was incredible to walk into a church where the atmosphere hit me, and it was so powerful that it literally was like the reality of the counterfeit that I have in the clubs, high on drugs. And she said, I experienced that in this church. And she said, it took me a few weeks, but by the fourth week, when I gave that invitation every single week, I finally went forward and I gave my heart to Jesus. And that church was Bayside. It was here. Isn't that the best? I thought, I'm going to tell you guys that story. Now, she's in our church, so thank you very much for sowing her into our church. But never underestimate the power of a spiritual environment. She walked in and said, this is what it feels like when I'm high on drugs. But the trouble is, you come down after a couple of days and you feel really bad. Whereas this, it keeps you going. And it was so beautiful. And then she ended up getting filled with the Spirit. And so thank you for laying an incredible foundation in that young woman's life. But there is power when we create and build a spiritual environment. Now, I felt it in the worship tonight. Who else felt it in the worship tonight? Never underestimate that. Man, I'm telling you, you actually could have gone on for another half an hour, to be perfectly honest. I felt the presence of God. And you see, it's powerful when we do partner with God. It's interesting that your pastor got up and said that, because what I wanted to share with you briefly before I begin to minister is what happens when we partner with God in the place of the prophetic and in the place of just coming together as the people of God. But even in our own walk with God, when we partner with Him, you see, oh man, there's so much in my heart. I'll probably share some tonight, some tomorrow morning. But when we come together to worship, never think that this is just the support act to the Word of God. Hebrews 2 verse 12 says that He sings in the midst of the congregation to the Father. That's Him, Jesus. You see, you brought the presence of God in with you. You brought Jesus in with you. If you know Him, He's inside of you. When you stand and you open your mouth and you begin to worship God and you give a sacrifice of praise, your flesh may not want to do it, and that's why it feels like a sacrifice. But as you do it, His Spirit begins to stir something in your heart. And as you give your mouth and your words to God, His Spirit rises up and He begins to sing His praise through you. That's what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. We can partner with God in worship. It is powerful. Don't ever think, I'll just get in there late and wait till the word. No. I'm already feeling... like I just want to, I don't know what I want to do. I just feel the presence of God so powerfully. I didn't want that worship to stop. But I do want to encourage you, worship guys. I want to train you and see you begin to cooperate with the Spirit of God. Instead of standing up here and this is never a performance. This is, we are engaging with God. And our spirit is linking with His Spirit. And you guys did a phenomenal job. But I believe there's more for this church. You guys have already laid down a spiritual foundation. There is something powerful happening here. But as I stood there, I thought, God, this church should be exploding on the left and the right because you have got something solid here. I can feel it. I'm not just saying that. Believe me, if you knew me well enough, you know I don't say anything just for the sake of saying it. There is something beautiful here. There is something solid here. There is a solid foundation here. And I can feel that maybe, I don't know what's happened because I haven't talked to these guys, but I sense that the last few years, maybe there's been a bit of a tripping up and a bit of a mountain climb that's gone on. But I tell you what, God is about to do something. God is about to move. God is about to move powerfully in this place. And it's going to come from this seedbed and this foundation. And I know I'm speaking prophetically here. It's going to come from a seedbed of the worship and the presence of God. But I believe the worship team is going to need to grow in walking and cooperating with the Holy Spirit. You guys know how to sing and let the Spirit of Jesus sing through you in the midst of the congregation. But there's more. There is more. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul's addressing the church, that whole chapter. In fact, yeah, the whole chapter of chapter 14, he says, when you assemble together, he's talking about a church service, when you're in a church meeting, and he begins to address what happens when you gather together, and he's laying down the principles. Because this is a group of people that have come out of the background of Gnosticism, which is all about, you know, forgetting the natural person and just going for the spiritual stuff. And it's kind of very, very much about the person instead of about the other person. And it's about seeking more knowledge so they can become more spiritual. And so these guys were, you know, they didn't care about just singing in, or speaking in tongues or with anything like that without explaining it to the people. And so he's addressing, when you get together, this is how you create a spiritual environment and how you manage and create a spiritual atmosphere. And this is how you take that, because our God is a God of order. Now, I think often what has happened over the decades, the centuries, in the Christian church and in the Pentecostal church, we read those chapters and those verses and we get scared and we pull back from the whole principle of tongues and singing in the Spirit and speaking in the Spirit in a church service. And yet, if you read it carefully and go through it verse by verse, you begin to realize it is meant to be very much a part of the Christian church experience. It's about how you do it and how you manage it. And there were moments here tonight where you guys could have really stepped out. And I'm training you here, okay? Take this as a bit of a coaching session. See, when we sing in the Spirit, the Bible says let me read the scripture to you so you've got the soundness of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." All right? So right there, that answers any questions. You know, when you pray in the Spirit, is that praying in tongues? Yes, it is. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the mind also." There's got to be room for both. Remember, he's addressing a congregation. He's saying, when you are assembled together, this is how you do it in order. Remember, Jesus is singing through us. When we begin to sing, you know, whether we're singing in English or singing in our natural tongue, we are the Spirit of God is singing through us, but then something is unleashed when the Spirit of God begins to speak through us, begins to pray through us, when we begin to sing in tongues, when we begin to sing in the Spirit, something very powerful is unleashed. Now, are you prophesying? No, because when you're singing and you're a worship team and you begin to sing in the Spirit of God, there's no requirement for interpretation because you're doing it between you and God. That's what the Bible says. But it ushers in and it opens up the door for everyone here to begin to sing in the Spirit of God. Now, if someone wants to step out and begin to sing a song, because the Bible says there are various kinds of tongues, if you do that, then it needs the twin gift of interpretation. But when it comes to just between you and God, that is as much a valid part of our worship service as singing songs in English is to Jesus. All right? And this creates an incredible spiritual atmosphere and an incredible spiritual environment. I want to show you something really quickly, and then I'm going to prophesy. Let's go to Romans 8. And this is when we get into the whole principle of partnering with God. Romans 8. We're going to start at verse 26. And I'm going to need Three men. Who wants to volunteer? Let's get a young guy. One of you young guys, come up here. Yeah, you're young. You do. One of you, and one of you. Okay. All right. Oh, well, sorry. You can do it tomorrow. All right. Who's the oldest? All right. Okay. All right. So this is these guys. They're going for their Oscars awards tonight. Okay. All right. So you're the oldest. All right. You're going to be the father. So you come over here. You're the father. Now. You can be the son. You go. Where's the son? If it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where's the Son? Right hand of the Father, all right? So you better go to the right hand of the Father. Here's me on earth. Where's the Holy Spirit? Come over here. You're the Holy Spirit. Aren't you blessed to be the Holy Spirit? Yeah, wait till you see what I'm going to do. Then you might not be so happy. All right, are we ready? We're going to do a quick walk through Romans 8. From verse 26, this is amazing. You've got to have your spiritual ears open. Father, in Jesus' name, open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see. Let us understand what you are saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? All right, let's crack this open. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. That word helps, if you look it up in the original, it actually means to take hold of something together against. To take hold of against. Let me explain what that means. I've got a big iron frame piano at home. If I want to move that thing, it's too heavy for me. I have to get one of my sons or my husband or someone to stand on the other side, and we have to take hold of that sucker, and together we push against it. We take hold of together against to move that thing, all right? It's a burden. It's a weight in my life. How many of us have spiritual weights and spiritual burdens that we need help with to move? Well, the Spirit of God helps our weakness. He takes hold of our weakness together, and he pushes against us. Because we do not know how to pray as we should, we need to partner with him. You see, I can't push the piano on my own, and I need the help of somebody else. When we pray with the Holy Spirit, we partner with the Holy Spirit. Every time we hurra mahatare hete, hitara masubrahate, he is taking hold of a spiritual weight in my life, and he's pushing against it with me. There's a partnership going on between me and the Holy Spirit. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Is that true? Every time you say, God, give me that car, and then you go, the Holy Spirit is saying, no, forget that prayer. She doesn't need that car. She needs this. This is what she really needs. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes. All right. So there's the Father. There's the Son. He's standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, the Spirit is here on earth. He's in me, and I'm praying with the Holy Spirit. Every time I hurra bahara behete, he is helping me together. We've got a partnership going on between us, because I don't know how I should always be praying. But the Spirit himself, he's a person, he intercedes. What does it mean to intercede? It means to stand in the gap. So he's in here. He's between me and heaven. With groanings too deep for words. Sometimes there are things, there are aches in our hearts. There are things in our soul, there are desires in our heart that we don't even fully understand how to articulate, how to comprehend, how to express those things. But the Spirit of God digs in. Sometimes the Holy Spirit prays to us by crying, by wailing. But I tell you what, there is a time when the Spirit of God comes up. He grabs hold of those groanings and those achings in our spirit. And sometimes we begin to pray into exactly what God is saying. Now, it says that he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts, who's the he there? The Father. Okay, now that's a scary thought. Man, when I first got saved, to think that the Father was searching my heart. And he knows everything. He knows the number of hairs on our head and the lack thereof. Yeah? Is that right? So, and he knows every thought. He knows every desire before we even ask. Every prayer before we even ask. He's got the spotlight on in my heart. Oh, that's a really terrifying thought. But get a load of this. But he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. That word mind means plan or intention. This guy here, he's got a plan for me. He's got an intention for me, and because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So you've got to look a bit more excited because you're the Holy Spirit, okay? So this is your Oscar nomination moment. He knows what is the mind of God. He's basically interceding or standing in the gap for me and you according to the will of God. So the Father searches my heart and goes, oh man, we've got a doozy here. What are we going to do about this one? And the Holy Spirit says, it's okay, Father, it's okay. I've got this one. I've got a plan for her. Seriously, it's been an ongoing plan for about 37 years so far. He says, I've got a plan for her and it's according to your will. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Yeah? All right? Now, then it goes on to say, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So every time the Holy Spirit and I, I'm partnering with him. Remember, I'm shifting. I'm shifting a spiritual burden. I'm shifting a spiritual atmosphere. I'm declaring, I'm creating something through the Spirit of God. I'm partnering with the Spirit of God. We're journeying along in life. Come on, you got to follow me now. Okay. And I'm Shandababa. Away. All right, and he's working together, all things for good. Meanwhile, I'm having babies after babies after babies. I had 5 children, right? So I was either pregnant or breastfeeding. But I was praying in the Spirit. I used to get up at 4:30 with my husband and pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues for an hour before he'd go to work, the two of us together. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And every time I'm doing that, the Holy Spirit is working out the plan of the Father, the will of the Father, and the mind of the Spirit, which is in accordance with his will. There is a partnership from heaven to earth. Every time I pray in the Spirit, and he's working all things together for good, for those who love the Lord. So every time I meet a person here, that person then has an impact in my life further down. We can look back over our lives and see the plan of God in action. Not only do I have the Holy Spirit praying the will of the Father through me on earth, but guess what? What's the Son doing over here in heaven? He's interceding for me. Oh my gosh. I've got someone in heaven praying for me. I've got someone I can partner with on earth to pray for me. And you know what it goes on to say? It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. See, predestination is based on foreknowledge. It's based on foreknowledge. When God is not limited by time. He can see our response to him. Therefore, because he foreknew my responses, therefore he predestined. And that and then it goes on to say, and these whom he predestined, he also called. And he called. Those whom he called, he justified. These whom he justified, he also glorified. Every time. You know, I had a prophetic dream from God before I ever got saved. Because God foresaw, therefore he predestined. He called me. He gave me this incredible dream and it began to pull me into the things of God. Every time a prophet comes along and prophesies into your life, there's little Diane back there, you know, just saved, and she's praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's, you know, praying with me and partnering with me, shifting, helping me in my weaknesses. And a prophet comes along and he sees this chapter in my life. He sees this moment in my life. And he prophesies and says, this is what God is going to do. What's he doing? He or she is capturing a moment of the chapter of your life. And he can see this very plan that is an interaction from heaven to earth. But you have to partner. You have to partner with the Spirit of God. Am I allowed to do this without interpreting? Yes, because I'm not prophesying to you. I'm praying now between me and the Father. Every time I do that, the Spirit of God is taking me closer to my destiny. So I have the Jesus, the Son, interceding for me in heaven. I have the Spirit of God interceding with me on earth. Therefore, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? All right. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Let's give them a hand. Yeah? All right. Every time we pray in the Spirit, and I want to lay this foundation down because we've got to build strong disciples. This isn't about always, you know, just receiving a prophetic word, but you can draw from the Spirit of God as He gives you that, as you partner with Him in prayer, something powerful begins to happen.